Yes, we've been praying for your healing. We know that you are healed, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And so we want you to know that, to be encouraged. We knew you were healing, so we didn't want to bother you, but we are thankful to hear your voice this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Who else do we have on the line this morning?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, young lady. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How everybody's doing?
We're doing well, Sister JJ. Doing well this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Again, we're in 1 John chapter 3 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10 on today. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a child of God. What does it mean? That's our topic today. What does it mean to be a child of God? And we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 this morning. But we are going to look at some other scriptures as we press our way through. I was sharing earlier with those on the line that we had been in a session with some other ministers and pastors, and they shared with me, they said, too many times we have a lot of motivational speakers, but do we have word speakers, word ministers that are pastors coming from the word? And so today we are going to press our way through the word, through 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. But we're going to look at some other scriptures. It is to, yes, to motivate us, but also to bring us to a calling on our assignment as disciples of Christ. What is our assignment as it pertains to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and how we are to carry that assignment out? As I said, I am in a different location on today. I get an opportunity to be on a college campus, which is awesome for us to be able to minister here. So please let us know if it gets a little bit loud. Just kind of let us know, and we will make some adjustments. We're going to go ahead and get started again. Welcome to the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls with your facilitator, Minister Dr. Deborah Singleton, here in Macon, Georgia. I want to welcome all of you joining with us. This morning we will have our opening scripture and prayer by Sister Ruby. Then we will have the reading of our scripture this morning by our sister, Sister Wanda. And then we will come back with praise and worship with Brother Al. So we're going, good morning, good morning. I hear the calls keep coming in this morning. Want to welcome you to the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls here in Macon, Georgia. Today we get an opportunity to be on the campus of Fayetteville College, Fayetteville State University. So we're excited about that, to get an opportunity to minister here, to see all of these kids coming in and getting themselves ready for school and their parents getting them in and the opportunity to be able to minister. So I take every opportunity that we can to be able to speak with our children and with our parents. So Sister Ruby, if you would go ahead on and open us up with our scripture and our prayer this morning, and then we are going to, as I say, press forward in reading of the scripture, and then we will have our song of praise, and then we will be back with you as we walk through this lesson on today. What does it mean to be a child of God? Amen. Sister Ruby.
Good morning, everyone. Blessings. Good morning. Blessings. Make a joyful shout to the Lord with all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. And into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Our Father, Lord God Almighty, we come this morning saying thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, We come this morning giving you praise and honor. We're shouting glory, hallelujah, to your name this morning. We're coming in the name of Jesus, asking that you forgive us for all sins, Lord God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will cleanse our hearts, Lord God. Cleanse our minds. Open up our ears, Lord God, so we may receive a word from you, dear Lord. Lord, we come right now in the name of Jesus, lifting up the sick, the bereaved everywhere. We are praying for each person that's on this line this morning, Lord God. We are praying for the ones who wanted to come but couldn't come for whatever reason, Lord. We're asking right now in the name of Jesus that you meet them at their point of need, Lord God. Whether it's sick, bereavement, body ache, whatever they're going through, God, you know. You know, Lord. And we ask right now that you touch. We know that you're here, there, and everywhere, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for Minister Singleton, Lord God, as she goes, teach, preach everywhere she goes. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that you continue to cover in her blood, strengthen her body, Lord God. Lord, continue to pour into her so she can pour into us, your children. Lord God, I lift up Mother Neal to you right now. I lift up Uncle John, Sister Wimley, Lord God. I lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you that you touch them, Lord God, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, God. Whatever it is, Lord God, have your way. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come on this line this morning. We invite you to our households, Lord God. We just ask that you move around each and everyone. Move around in our house, Lord God. If we got some sickness in there, we ask right now that you touch, Lord God. We got some bereavement, we ask that you touch, Lord God. We lift up all the pastors that continue to come on this line, Lord God. We thank you for them, Lord God. We bless your holy name this morning, Lord. We praise you, God, because of who you are, Lord God. If you don't do another thing, we just thank you for what all you've done, because you kept us all week long. You brought us back down to this place, and we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, God. We say thank you, Lord, because you've been mighty good to all of us. Lord, I ask all these blessings in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have the reading of our scripture this morning. Again, coming from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Sister Wanda, thank you.
Good morning. I will be reading from the CEV version, and it reads as follows. Think how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that he lets us be called his children, as we truly are. But since the people of this world did not know who Christ is, they don't know who we are. My dear friends, we are already God's children. So what we see hasn't yet been seen, but we do know when Christ returns, we will be like him, because we will see him as he truly is. This hope makes us keep ourselves holy just as Christ is holy. Everyone who sins breaks God's law, because sin is the same as breaking God's law. You know Christ came to take away our sins. He isn't sinful. And people who stay one in their hearts with him won't keep on sinning. If they do keep on sinning, they don't know Christ, and they have never seen him. Children, don't be fooled. Anyone who does right is good, just Christ himself. Anyone who keeps on sinning belongs to the devil. He has sinned from the beginning, but the Son of God came to destroy all that he has done. God's children cannot keep on being sinful. His life-giving power lives in them and makes them his children, so they cannot keep on sinning. You can tell God's children from the devil's children, because those who belong to the devil refuse to do right or to love each other. May the Lord have blessed to the readers and doing his word. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading our foundational scripture this morning, coming from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. In the reading of our scripture this morning, before Brother Al comes with our songs of praise and worship this morning, hopefully you were able to walk through this scripture and be able to see the attributes of those who are children of God, the characteristics of those who are children of God, as well as those who are children of the enemy, children of the devil. And then, two, as I shared earlier this morning, we're going to look at first, how do we become children of God? And then what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be a child of God? And then, two, we will look at what does it mean to be children of the enemy, the devil. The next thing I want us to write down, as I say before Brother Al comes, is a column that looks at what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of us. What does that mean, Sister JJ? I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And what does that mean? So we're going to look at this morning, how do I become a child of God? How do I live as a child of God? What are some of the characteristics of a child of God? What are some of the characteristics of those that are children of the enemy, the devil? And then to that fourth column, we're going to look at what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of us. So this morning we're going to do some writing. We're going to add some scriptures to our foundational scripture this morning. But we want to make sure we get this word solid in our hearts and in our minds, because we are going to come in contact with this week, whether they're in our homes or whether they're outside of our home, somebody that do not know the Lord, somebody that do not know Jesus. And we need to be armed, we need to be prepared, and we need to give them scripture. We need to give them, what does the word say? And so we don't want anybody to say, I might be saved, I think I'm saved. But we want them to be able to say, I know that I am saved. So this morning, I just want to make sure we are ready this morning and prepare with our word so we can truly do a walk through the word this morning on what does it mean to be a child of the King. Brother Al, if you would come this morning with our praise and worship on today. Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee.
Yes, yes.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Yes, yes.
Ooh, just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, hear my plea. Just a closer walk. Let faithful strength be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Al for leading us in our praise and worship song on today. Brother Al, know this, that we are continuing to pray Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 for you, sir. Amen. Thank you for your perseverance on today. Amen. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that is joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls here in Macon, Georgia, with your facilitator, Minister Deborah Singleton. This morning, as we mentioned, our lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10, which is our foundational scripture. As many of you all know, we have been using the SOAP method to bring our message, SOAP, S-O-A-P, where we look at the scripture, we observe the scripture, we do an overview of the scripture, then we apply the scripture to our lives, and we look at some of the prayer points that we can walk away from our particular study on this morning. It's one thing to read the word and get information, but it's another to allow the word to transform our lives to be the disciples that God has called us to be. We have, you all have been called to be disciples. That means that we have been put on a mission here. We are on assignment, and that assignment, yes, is Matthew 28, 19 through 20, but we are also assigned for us to begin to immerse ourselves, continue to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, so that not only are we transformed, but we are also being a part of the assignment of helping to make other disciples of Christ so that they in turn will go and make other disciples. So this morning, as we look at 1 John and using the SOAP method to bring the message, I want us to know this, Sister Wanda. 1 John was written by John the Apostle. He was the son of Zebedee. And he not only wrote 1 John, but he wrote 2 and 3 John. He wrote the Gospel of John as well as, Pastor Kuiper, he wrote the Book of Revelation. John was a fisherman. He was one of Jesus' inner circles. He was a part of James and Peter, and he's known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. We can see that in John chapter 13, verse 23. The letter that we look at this morning was written somewhere between 85 and 95 Mother Neal A.D., it's difficult some to say the exact date or the date of precision in which it was written, but we are saying that, and our research showed that it was somewhere between, as I say, 85 and 95 A.D. When we look at who received this letter, Minister Braxton, we 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 and verse 19 makes it very clear that this letter was addressed to believers. Yes, this letter is addressed to us this morning. It may have been written back in 85 and 95 A.D., but it is so relevant to us on today in 2024. But the letter itself does not indicate who they were, where they lived, these believers. It could be seen that this may have been a circular letter sent to Christians in a number of places. Certainly was sent to us here in Macon, those of us in Atlanta, those of us that are in Ohio, those of us that are in Warner Robins, Georgia. This letter is sent and written to us. Some say that evidence from early Christian writers places the Apostle John somewhere in the area of Ephesus. He writes this letter this morning, you all. He's an elderly man now. As a matter of fact, John was the only disciple that we find that lived a rather lengthy life. Yes, a part of the inner circle and the son of Zebedee. When we look at this letter, we look at the occasion and the purpose. Sister Ruben, why did he write this letter? Why did John write this letter? John wrote this letter with two basic purposes in mind. The first purpose, you all, was to expose false teachers. And that's the reason why I say that John speaks to us today, because we too still are dealing with false teachers and false prophets. The second reason he wrote the letter was to give believers an assurance of their salvation. There are people that believe that they have to do more than receive Christ as their personal Savior. Some believe that they have to be keepers of the law, Uncle John. Some even believe that they still have to be circumcised based on the law. But John wanted to make it clear to them. He wanted to expose them. He says, I want to expose false teachers and false leaders and false prophets to you as to what it is that you need to look for. And then I want you to be assured of your salvation, that to know that you know that you know that you are saved. That there was, you all, a group of people, and you write this down, and you can do some more research on them if you desire to. They were called the Gnostic teachers, and John was warning them against them. They taught a religion. They taught things that talked about. They had a total lack of morality. You can find that in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, which we're going to look at on today. He warns them about this particular teaching of Gnosticism, capital G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M, Gnosticism. It was one of the most dangerous heresies of the first two centuries of the church. It was Gnosticism. Its central teaching was that spirit is entirely good and matter is entirely evil. From this unbiblical dualism flow five important errors, but I'm only going to tell you about two of them. One of the errors of this false teaching that was going on was that the human body, which is matter, is therefore evil. That's what they taught. They said the human body was evil. It is to be contrasted with God, who is Holy Spirit, and therefore good. The second thing that they taught, that John warns them of and warns us of today, because they are still Gnostic leaders and Gnostic teaching, you all, is still going on. The second error that they taught was that salvation is the escape from the body. It is achieved not by faith in Christ, but by some type of special knowledge. Some type of special knowledge, not by faith in Christ Jesus, but it was some other way that you have to be saved. And that's why this morning I want us to understand that there is one way, but there are other teachings out there, not only Gnosticism, but there's a teaching called Universalism, and that particular teaching speaks of that God in his infinite love and steadfast love and everlasting love for us would not want anybody to go to hell. Everybody is going to go and live with him. That is false teaching, you all, but it's still going on right now. I'm here on the campus, as I say, of Fayetteville State University, and I wonder how many of these maybe children that are coming in, they're young people and are coming in with no knowledge of who Christ Jesus is, no knowledge of who God is, no knowledge of how to be saved, or coming in with some other type of teaching about Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to make it very clear on how we, those of us that are believers, how we came to Jesus. I want to set the record straight this morning, Sister Wanda. We don't come to Jesus by doing good. We don't come to Jesus by giving to the Salvation Army. We don't come to Jesus in that manner. We have to do the Romans 10:9-10. That's the way. And if a young person or older person, middle-aged person comes to you and says, how can I be a child of God? You can't tell them, just do good. Just give. Just do good. Just say the right thing. Just live right. No, they have to make a confession of Jesus Christ. That Romans 10:9-10. You need to write that down this morning if you don't already have it. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And by giving of his Son, what he was doing was, because you know when we go back to Genesis, even in the beginning, there was unity, there was harmony, there was peace, there was no chaos. But when man did what God told him not to do, that brought in this word called sin. S-I-N. We're going to deal with that word on today. But sin is when we do not align to the commands of God, when we break that command, when we step outside of that command, that is called sin. And because of what they did there in the garden, God loved us so much that he said, I don't want to remain separated from them, so I'm going to send my Son, Jesus, my one and only Son, one who is perfect, will be the perfect sacrifice that will come, and he will go to the cross. He will pay the price for the sin debt that they cannot pay for. So when we look at Romans 10:9-10, we look at John chapter 3:16, and we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We need to understand, you all, what the word says, Uncle John, about salvation. Because too many people are going to hell because we have not been able to explain to them how to be saved. Look at Acts chapter 2 this morning. And go down to verse number 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's see what it says today. Here's what it said. Acts 2, 38 says, Peter replied, each of you must repent. Notice this word, repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? The forgiveness of your sins. Then notice what you will receive. Then you will receive the gift of what? The Holy, what? Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. But there is a process, you all. And we as disciples of Christ must understand what the process is, and we must understand what the scriptures are. That's why I'm working through this morning, because like I said, I see too many ask the question, even in an old age. I thought I was saved because I was a member of the choir. I was a member of the deacon's board. I've been in the church for 30 plus years, but they are not saved. So it is incumbent on us that we are to show them how to be saved. We are to present the gospel message to them with clarity, with accuracy, so that they can make a decision. It's up to them. But it's up to me as a disciple of Christ that I present to them with an accurate manner on how to be saved. Here's the other thing. When we look at how to become a child of God, John talks to believers this morning, but how do I become a believer? There's a demonstration, Minister Braxton, of faith. There's a demonstration of trust. And Uncle John, there's a demonstration of belief. I don't have a plan B, you all. I trust God. I believe God. My faith is in God. I know it's not by good deeds, because I can't be good enough to be able to work my way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough. You can't live right enough. But it is by faith. It is by trust. It is by the belief in our Savior. This morning I want us to make sure we got that column, that first column set right. How to become a child of God. How to become, Sister Wanda, how do you tell your grandchildren, your great-grands to come? How do you tell the grands so they can tell the great-grands and tell their children that it's not about your good deeds, it's not about living right, it's not about giving this and giving that. It is about making a confession of faith. Again, Romans 10:9-10, John 3:16, Acts 2:38. So, Uncle John, as we open up this scripture and look at the John, Apostle John, as he speaks to us this morning on how to be a child of God. And then the next thing is, how is it for us as children of God? What are our attributes? Oh, Sister Wanda, when you read the scripture, I thank you for reading it from that translation this morning. What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean? Let me give you an attribute of a child of God. The first thing is, Sister JJ, is that in that column, that you are born again. What did Nicodemus in John chapter 3 go to Jesus by night, and he asked him the question about being born again, and Jesus, he was talking to Jesus, and really Nicodemus felt that he was already born again. He already felt that he was a part of the kingdom because of who he was attached to, because of his ancestry, being in the ancestry line of Abraham. So he didn't realize that he was unsaved. He didn't realize that he did not have salvation. And what did Jesus say to him, Uncle John? He said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus said, "How can an old man can go back into his mother's womb and have a second birth?" But Jesus said, "I'm not talking about another sack birth, but I'm talking about a birth in the heart, a birth in the mind, a birth where you change from where you are to come to this side. You stop serving the flesh and you start serving God." This is a spiritual walk that we're talking about this morning. So John speaks to born again believers. He speaks to children of God. And Uncle John, the first thing I observed when I started looking at this using the soap method, I observed, you all, the great love that our Father has for us. Now, did you all notice that as Sister Wanda was reading? And my first observation was this love that has has been lavished. That word lavish means that has been poured out on us. That John 3:16 kind of love, that agape love that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That's the love that has been poured out on us. Not only did God send his only son, not only did he go to Calvary in our place, not only do we have salvation, you all, but we have a love, God, a love that nothing can separate us from that love. You can find it over there in Romans chapter 8, a love that neither death can separate us, neither persecution can separate us from this love, you all, that God has for us. That's my first observation, Sister Ruby, is this love. I can't explain it, y'all. Maybe somebody on the line can explain it. But I can't explain someone loving me. Not that I was so good, but loving me even when I was in the midst of not following in his footsteps. Loving me so much that he was willing to die for me. The word says, the word tells us maybe a man may die for somebody that does good, but what about somebody dying for the whole world who was not aligned to the word, but he died for us? That's my first observation, is this love that was lavished upon us as believers in Christ Jesus. Here's the second observation, still in verse number 1 this morning. My second observation is my identity changes. My identity changes. As a child of God, I become a part of the family of God. I take on, you all, a new identity. Yes, Mother Cora, I take on a new identity because, write this down this morning, I have now been adopted into the family of God. I tell anybody, if you ever been through an adoption process, and it's a long, drawn-out process, a lot of paperwork, a lot of, they have to come into your home and see if your home is suitable. They have to make sure you're able to take care of the child or the children, and they do psychiatric assessments on you to make sure your mind is in line. But notice this. When you are adopted into a family, you take on the name of that family. You no longer that name that you had when you were in that orphanage, but you take on a new name. You take on a new identity. You take on a new address. So when I look at that second observation in just in chapter 1, Sister Ruben, it lets me know that my father loves me. This great, it didn't say just love. It said great love lavished upon me. And then not only that, I get a new identity because I have been born again. I become a child of God. Now, God will never be taken to court for child support, Brother Al. You don't have to take him for child support because he's going to do what? He's going to take care of his children. So I have been adopted into the family of God. And by being adopted, still in verse number 1, being adopted into the family of God, here's something else that I received. I received a new identity of I'm adopted. I received the identity change that I have been redeemed. And the other one is I have received the Holy Spirit. Have mercy. I have received what? I received the Holy Spirit. My identity changes. And then I receive a transforming power that lives on the inside of me. Now, when you are truly been born again, I'm going to go here. When you truly been born again, when you think about doing wrong, the Holy Spirit pricks you. When you think about doing the wrong thing, when you think about stepping outside of the line, the Holy Spirit pricks you. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives on this side of you. It dwells there. You have to be submitted and surrendered. When you think about cursing, when you think about doing wrong, the Holy Spirit pricks you. It said, don't do that. that don't align to the word of God, that's not God. That's not a reflection of who you are. Now, my maiden name is a Jennings, and I resemble the Jennings. I can go places in my hometown, and they can point out the characteristics of Jennings. When I go to Tuscaloosa, and if I'm around certain people that knew my father and that kind of, they can point out that I'm a Cream. See, that's what we have to do in the spirit realm. We have to take on the image of our Heavenly Father because we have been transformed, and people need to be able to say, that's a child of God. When you show up in the Dollar Tree and the cashier don't give you correct change back, they ought to be able to say that that's a child of God in the way you handle it. When you go to the Kroger and they may not be as kind, people ought to be able to say that that's a child of the King. You ought to resemble your daddy. You ought to look like your daddy, Pastor Kuiper. You ought to walk like your spiritual father. And that's what God is telling us. Uncle John, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Let me give you a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, attribute of it. Romans 8, 9 through 11 talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us because we have been born again, that we have been redeemed, and that we are children of God. Let me give you another one. Not only does he dwell in us, Romans 8, 9 through 11, but here's the other thing. The Holy Spirit brings direction and guidance. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 19. The Holy Spirit brings direction. Let me tell you this. If you have to make a decision in a situation, if it's a doctor decision, a job decision, a married decision, or single decision, or whatever it is, you have the Holy Spirit. You have someone that dwells on the inside that will provide you direction and it provides you guidance. Let me give you another one. Not only does the Holy Spirit dwell in us, not only does the Holy Spirit bring direction and guidance, Acts 10 and 19, but he also produces fruit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Yes, Sister Gloria Brown, he produces fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in my life. He produces that love. He produces that joy. He produces that peace. He produces you all, let me give you one, self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. And when I am saved, when I'm born again, when I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of God, I receive a full-fledged package. And in that package is the Holy Spirit. And inside that package, you all, I have everything that I need to live in this world. Let me keep on going this morning. Something else about the Holy Spirit. He changes us into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. He changes us into the image of Christ. He changes me. He makes me who I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to look like. And this is not just an outside. This is not an outside look. I'm talking about working from the inside to the outside. Yeah, you may look like your father physically. You may walk like him. You may talk like him. You may have the same color eyes that they have. You may be the same height that they are. But I'm talking this morning about looking like my spiritual father. That's my Heavenly Father, Uncle John, and the love he has for me and my new identity in him. So when we look at this born again, a child of the King, it lets me know that I'm a part of the family of God. It lets me know that I'm loved. It lets me know that I take on a new identity. Let's keep on walking this morning. Notice, and that is what we are. That's the other part of verse number one. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. that the world, the reason the world crucified him, the reason why the world persecuted him, because they did not know him. Hatred stirred up on the inside of those who persecuted him, those that were always trying to get him. And the reason why they persecuted him was because he walked in truth. He walked in truth. He corrected those things that were wrong. He spoke against them, and he told us the right way in which we are to go. And that's the reason why the world don't like us. The world persecuted him, and the world, you all, will persecute us because we are standing up for what is right. Let me say this. Do the world know that you are a child of the King? Do your neighbor know that you are saved? Do the people in your church know that you are a child of the King, that you are born again, that you are redeemed, and that you are receptacle, Pastor Kuiper, of the Holy Spirit, that you are receptacle of the Holy Ghost? Can they tell in the way you talk? Can they tell in your actions? Can they point to you and say, that's a child of God that's standing over there? Don't have to say anything. Don't have to do anything. But can they say that you are a child of the King just by the way your mannerism, just by the way you respond to situations and circumstances? Can they, Sister Ruby, point at you and say, that's a child of God? Those are God's people that are over there. I can tell you why they're God's people, in the way their actions and in the way they talk. Let's go on this morning as we continue to look at the attributes and the characteristics of children of God. Look at verse number 2. It says, dear friends, this is John speaking to them. Now, N-O-W, we are children of God. And because we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's an observation that I captured this morning, you all, that it says that we shall what? See him as he is. The only way you're going to see Christ, Mother Neal, is that you have been born again, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is transforming you and changing you, and that you are connected to the true vine. Under that column where it talks about a child of God will see him as, what, notice it, as he is. Here's the other observation that I see, is that we're going to see him, you all, face to face. We're going to see him face to face. There will be no veil that is there, Mother Cora. But on that getting up morning, that's a promise to us that are saved, to us that know Christ, those of us that are born again. Sister Wanda, we're going to see him, and we're going to see him face to face. Here's the second observation that I see from this promise, is that we shall be what? We shall be like him. We shall be like him. That means that we will have glorified bodies. We won't have these bodies that have the aches and the pains, the bodies that have to take insulin, the body that may have to go and get chemotherapy, the body that has to go and get shots. But we're going to have, Sister JJ, a glorified body. That's when we are going to be able to see him face to face. That's when we are going to be like him. Our bodies, you all, are going to be, we're going to have glorified bodies. You ain't going to have no need to wear glasses up there. There ain't going to be no need for no wheelchairs up there, no mobility machines up there. For we will be in our glorified body. Hallelujah this morning. So being a child of God, being a part of the family of God, taking on this new identity, being adopted in the family, being redeemed. We have a future this morning. We should be like him, and we are going to notice this, Pastor Kuiper. We are going to be in his presence. And this body we have, y'all, can't be in the presence of God. But the glorified body that we are going to get, we should be able to share in the in Christ's glory. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 and 4. So as I continue with my observations this morning, I see something else. Sister Wanda, I see something in verse number 3. I see something else, a characteristic of a child of God is the hope. Our hope is in him. You brought that word a few Sundays ago when we talked about hope, and Pastor Kuiper has been talking about it ever since then. This hope, you all, comes from what has been promised to believers regarding the future return of Christ. Jesus is coming back, y'all. I can't tell you when, but I know that he's coming back. And he says, I'm coming back for my church. That means I'm coming back for those that are born again, those filled with the Holy Ghost. Hope, you all, is not simply a positive outlook of feeling. That's why I say I'm not a pastor or a preacher that preaches this whole thing of positive thinking. I want you to have word thinking. Capital W-O-R-D. I want you to have word thinking. What does the word say about my situation? So notice this, Brother Al. My hope comes from the trustworthiness of God's character, of who God is. That's where my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. See, we have to understand where our hope is, who our hope is in. Too many of us are hoping on our IRA, hoping on our 401, hoping that the stock market goes up, hoping that our investments goes up. But let me tell you, whether mine goes up or goes down, my hope is in Christ Jesus. Here's the next observation that I see, Uncle John, as I walk through this passage of Scripture. Not only do I see my hope, but I see something else, that in him we are to purify. Well, what does that word purify mean? That means that we are to cleanse ourselves from unrighteousness. That means, how do I purify myself, Sister Wanda? I die to the flesh daily. This flesh wants to do some any and everything. It doesn't care. It doesn't care whether you say, I'm a believer, I'm saved, I'm filled with this flesh. You have to die. You have to kill it daily. You have to talk to yourself. You have to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not a demonstration. That's not who I am anymore. I'm not going to let them have it. I'm not going to be nice, nasty to them. I'm going to purify my heart. I'm going to purify my mind. I'm going to purify my mouth. Y'all remember? Y'all saw that commercial where they used to have it, where they talk about washing your mouth out with soap or washing your mouth out with lye. That kind of thing. But no, we as believers got to wash our mouths out with the word of God. We got to wash our mouths with the word, and we got to turn to the Holy Spirit, submitting and surrendering and walking in obedience as we purify, as we cleanse ourselves, as we walk in obedience. Yes, that's what God is calling us to, you all. He's calling us to walk in obedience. And the only way for me to walk in obedience and know what God's word says is I got to read the word. And then not only read it, but I got to immerse myself in my mind. I got to start. Let me tell you all this. This past 2 years, I have began to memorize scripture. I have began to say, let me go find that particular scripture. And I have been starting reading that scripture over and over and making it a part of who I am. Let me tell you something. You got to make this word who you are. You got to walk in this word. Let me tell you, I don't care where I walk. If I have to walk in a ballroom, I can still walk in. I can walk in the Word of God. I can walk in it. I can share, and they will know that I'm a disciple of Christ. See, we got to understand we're going to walk in some place. Every place you walk in ain't going to be the church. Every place you walk in is not going to be a lost believer. You got to walk in this world, and you're going to walk with people that may be smoking something beyond a cigarette. You got to walk with people that may have stayed out all night long and may have been on Broadway Street, may have been on Elm Street, may have been on Main Street. You got to walk amongst them and tell them how that they can be children of God. That's what we got to do. So as we continue to look at this passage of what does it mean to be children of God? What does it mean to be children of God? When we talk about this whole idea, when we go on and we look at this idea of being purification, being walking as children, walking in morality, walking in the Word of God. Let's go on to verse number 4. Let's look at what it says. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, notice this, it gives us the definition of what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So what do we observe here? We observe sin being defined. This verse is the clearest definition of sin in the New Testament. Perhaps you've heard sin vaguely defined as to miss the mark or some such. But right before us now is the biblical definition of what sin is. So as we continue to track our way through looking at this in terms of children of God, I want to give us something else. Not only do we say our hope is in him, but we do not live a lifestyle of habitual sin. That's a new person. That's a child of God. That's being born again. I did not say that we do not misstep. I do not say that we do not sin. Because when you go to 1 John 1:9, which is a scripture, we as believers need to write down. When we look at this, it says, does not live, Uncle John, a child of the king, a child of God, born again, does not live a lifestyle of habitual sin. What that means is every day I get up, that's what I do. When I lay down, that's what I do. When I walk through the day, that's what I do. That is a part of it. When we believers mess up, we know to go to 1 John 1:9. Am I right about it? We go to 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, we have a Father that is faithful, who will forgive us and who will wash us, who will cleanse us, and who will restore us. Well, if you're born again, you don't want a lifestyle of what you used to be. You don't want that old man walking in that way anymore. But what it says is we as believers does not live a lifestyle. Somebody need to write that down. A lifestyle of habitual sin, because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a package deal. So when we mess up, the Holy Spirit quickly tells us, you know what? You did that. Now, here's how you need to correct that. Let's keep walking this morning. Another characteristic of the children of God is that we practice walking in godly righteousness. We practice walking in righteousness. We practice looking like our Father, because our Father what? Is righteous. And we become, this is another identity piece of the believer, is that we become the righteousness of God because what? Not because of what we've done, not because of our works or our deeds, because we cannot work our way into heaven, but it is because of the finished works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So we are the righteousness of God. We look like our Father. We are transformed into the likeness of Christ. And our transformation comes by our actions and by our speech. I hope you all wrote down 1 John 1:9, because if we look at being children of God, I want us to understand that this is progressive. This is progression. We are not overnight. We laid everything down and we become this. It is progression. That's why he calls it the sanctification process. This is the sanctification process that we are in. We go from justification when we give our lives to Christ, Romans 10:9-10, John 3:16, Acts 2:38, and then we move to a process called sanctification, becoming more like Christ. That's how we are sanctified. We become more like him, and this is the process that we find ourselves in. So let's keep reading when it talks about the children of God. Let me go back to verse 6. It says, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. What that means, you all, is one that lives, this is, again, their lifestyle, habitual sin. Every time you turn around, that this is what they're involved in. I don't know if you all are familiar, the mafia, the mindset of gangsters, the mindset of that community. That's what they do every single day. And that's what he's talking about here. That's what John is trying to get us to understand, that yes, we as believers, we're misstep. Yes, we say things we shouldn't say. We go places we shouldn't go. But notice this. We have Holy Spirit on board, divine GPS, that tells us, and what should we do? Immediately, we should make amends. We should go and ask for forgiveness. Let's keep walking. Look at verse number 7. Dear children, John is speaking to them, do not let anyone lead you what? Astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. So notice this. John is warning the believers. He's warning us in 2024. He says, don't let anyone lead you astray. What was happening was that John is warning them because they are false teachers who believe in Gnosticism, who believe that salvation did not come from believing in Christ Jesus, but salvation came through having some type of special knowledge. So what does John tell them and tell us this morning? That we, as children of God, should not be led, what? Astray. There are going to be people that come along and tell you. You all know these people that knock on your doors. You know the people that you see dressed in different, standing in the various parks, on the street corners. As a matter of fact, they don't mind coming to your church. But what John is saying this morning is, he said, do not let anyone, Brother Al, lead you astray. Don't let them come in there with some different Bible saying, well, that Bible that you're reading, that was written by man. They didn't know what they were saying. That. No, don't do that. What John is warning us, and we got to get our children, just like I say, on this campus, this college campus, we got to warn our children. We got to rear them up and warn them that there are going to be those that come and give you a leaflet and say, you know what, that Christianity and that believe in God and Holy Spirit coming in your life, dwelling inside of you, you ain't got to do all of that. No, you ain't got to live holy. You ain't got to live righteous. You ain't got to do that. But let me tell you all something. John warned them then, and he's warning us now. That he's telling them, don't be led astray. Don't let someone else, don't let some other audience come in and begin to introduce some new concept, some new way. So as John continues with his warning to us as believers this morning, verse 8a says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Now go to your category where it says children of the devil. Under that category, children of the devil, Mother Neal, are those that is settled and continue in the lifestyle of sin. Much as you try to witness to them, much as you try to tell them to turn away from the lifestyle, much as you tell them that the way in which they are going, much as you tell them that they need to be born again, much as you tell them that they need salvation, they make up in their mind, I'm going to keep going my way. And I'm, you know what they say? They say, well, I'm just going to take my chances. I don't want to live right. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to be born again. I don't want Jesus to be a part of my life. I don't want the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's who John is talking about here. Those that are the children of the devil are those that are settled, those that continue the lifestyle of sin. The other one is they abide in sin. That means they live in it. They wallow in it. The other characteristic of children of the devil, they do not practice righteousness. When you tell them about what is right, they say, I'm doing this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a child of the king. I was amazed, you all, the other day, I heard somewhere someone say, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go where God is. Well, that is a child of the enemy, the child of the devil. How do we protect ourselves, you all, as children of God? We have to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. And not only put on the whole armor of God, y'all see the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, but it also says we must pray in the Spirit always. What does that mean? I have to allow the Holy Spirit to pray what? Pray through me. The children of the devil are those that are continuing this lifestyle of sin. They are settled in this lifestyle of sin. They abide in sin. They don't practice righteousness. They don't love their brothers and their sisters. They walk in rebellion. They are enemies. They are strangers of God. They are lovers of sin. They live in sin. And they do not trust in the atonement. They do not trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And they do not know God. That should be under your category of children of the devil. Abiding in sin. Does not practice righteousness. Does not love. They walk in rebellion. They are enemies and strangers of God. They are lovers of sin. They live in sin. They do not trust in the atonement of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And they do not know God. So when we look at how do we become children of God, then we look at this born again, new person, new identity. Then we look at that, yes, we live in a world that there are children of the enemy, the children of the devil. What about the Wiccans? What about those that worship, got devil worshipers, witches, on college campuses? Do you all not know, not only college campuses, but in high schools, do you not know that they have clubs that worship witches, Wiccans? Do you not know that the federal government on various bases and installations you can have Wiccans, they can have their own organization? Yes, they are children of the enemy. They continue this lifestyle of sin, and they have made up in their mind. They know their destination. They know they're going to hell. But they want to take as many people as they can with them. That's why I tell parents, open your eyes. Me as a pastor, as a leader, I have to open my eyes to see the various tricks that the enemy is using. Let's go on. Notice something else about this writing. He says it right here, that we got to be battle ready, you all. We got to put on that whole armor of God. We got to keep it on. And those that are children of the devil, they have a spirit, you all, a spirit of disobedience. They willfully, Mother Neal, oppose God. They willfully oppose his truth. And they follow the lies of the enemy. They follow the lies of the devil. Acts chapter 13, verse number 10. John chapter 8, verse 44. That's what they do. So when we say that they are they in this verse, I don't want us to get confused this morning in terms of, well, am I a child of God? I missed up. I messed up. That's why I gave you 1 John 1:9. Because that is the scripture for a believer. That's not a scripture for an unbeliever. Romans 10:9-10 is the scripture for the unbeliever. But when we mess up, when we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, there is a way back to our Heavenly Father. Now, notice, look at verse 8b. The reason the Son of God appeared was to do what? This was his mission. This was his purpose. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That was his assignment. That was his reasoning for coming. And we know that Christ has already won the victory. We have the victory as disciples of Christ, but we have an enemy that we have to do battle with, because the enemy wants to do and use every trick that he can. He starts in our mind. That's really where the battle is, you all. It's in the mind. And when he can get the mind, he then gets the body to carry out what the mind, it was there in the mind. Notice, look at verse number 9. I love this. It says, God's seed. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. That means you are not going to live in a lifestyle of sin. You are not going to get up in the morning through the day, go to bed at night. That's all on your mind, figuring out what you can do wrong. Notice what it says. No one who is born of God will continue. That means habitually live in that lifestyle. Because God's seed, underline that, God's seed lives on the what? On the inside of us. I'm connected to the true vine. What about you? And when we are connected to the true vine, John 15, it says that he remains in us and we remain in him. The seed, and when a seed is inside of you, and that seed is a productive seed, and we know God is, then guess what that seed does? When we water it with the Holy Spirit, when we water it with the Word of God, when we water it with walking in obedience and aligning our lives to the Word of God, what happens? That seed begins to grow on the inside of us. And the things that we used to touch that was not of God, we don't want to touch those no more. The things that we used to say or used to do. But again, I want us to understand that we are in a progressive, we are progressing, we're in a process of sanctification. And every day is a new day. Every day we work towards the goal of being like Christ. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. There's no way that you can be more like Christ without the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Let's keep going. Notice this. People who have experienced this spiritual birth do what is right, know God, and what? Love others. A part of being a child of God is that we love our brothers and sisters. There is an agape love that exists on the inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. This agape love is a love that is patient, a love that is forgiving, a love that is giving. And that's a part of being a child of God, is that I'm walking, I'm practicing righteousness. I'm looking like my Father, and if my Father can lavish this great love on us, that's the kind of love that I'm supposed to lavish on my sisters and brothers. Here's the kind of love I'm supposed to have for the world, those that are unsaved. It's a love, you all, that says, I love you enough to share with you the plan of salvation. Why would we let boys and girls do what they do and never tell them about Jesus? We say, well, I'm scared of them. I don't know what they might say. They may curse me out. They may do this or that. But what's going to happen to them if a bullet takes them out today and they don't know Christ Jesus? Where are they going? Who are they going to be living with? So we have to understand our role and responsibility. Notice this. Let's keep going. This seed, God's seed, Sister Wanda, resides on the inside of us. He remains in us. And when that seed remains in us, it means that we can't keep on doing what we do. Because the Holy Spirit keeps saying, that's not Christ-like. That's not a demonstration of one who's walking with the Lord. Because what? They have been what? Born of God. They have been born again, Uncle John. And because I've been born again, when I desire, even if the desire is there, I have to realize who I am in Christ Jesus. Do I miss? Absolutely. Have I missed? Absolutely. Since I've been, absolutely. But I also know what 1 John 1:9 tells me, and I don't use that as a cop-out, but I use that, let me tell you, to get myself back, restored back with the Lord. Let's keep walking this morning. And we look at what does it mean to be a child of God. Here's the other thing. As we look at verse number 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not what? God's child. Again, habitually walking in sin, living in it. Get up in the morning, midday, in the evening. This is all they think of. Evil, wickedness. So when we look at it this morning, and we continue to look at it, it says, you will know who they are. It says, anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and their sister. Do not what? Love. That's agape love, you all. Agape love, the demonstration of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, you can put on for a while that you love somebody. But if you don't really love them, it's going to show. It's going to come out in the way you talk, and it's going to come out in your actions. So the children of God is characterized by having this agape love. The children of God is characterized by walking in righteousness, desiring, wanting to do what is right, wanting to give up that life that they once walked in, wanting to put it aside, wanting to allow the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come alive inside of them because they have submitted and surrendered and say, I want to be more like Jesus. I asked the question this morning, how many on this line want to be more like Jesus? And if we want to be more like him, then again, we have to get in the word. We have to walk the word out. And let me tell you, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. You have to say, wait a minute now. Self, I'm not going down that path anymore. Because we already know what the consequences normally are when we do it. So when we look at this lesson, just summing it up this morning, when I did my four columns, as I said earlier, how to become a child of God, how do I know that I'm going to live with the Lord? Is Romans 10:9-10, John 3:16, Acts 2:38, by a demonstration of my faith, my trust, and my belief in God. That's how I know. Not by my good deeds, not by saying I'm living right. But by those things and making those confessions of Romans 10:9-10. Now, Uncle John, that I'm a child of the King, that means that I got to mature. See, when a baby first gets here, you don't give that baby a fried chicken plate. You don't give that baby steak and potatoes. That baby has to grow. And that's what we have to understand as disciples of Christ. Children have to grow. We are children of God. And we what? We take it a step at a time. We feed what? We get milk. And then we get meat. So notice this, children of God, born again, that we are a new person, that we are part of the family of God. And we take on, Sister Ruby, a new identity. We are adopted in the family. We are redeemed, and we love our brothers and sisters. We have fellowship with God as being a part of the children of God. We have a future, you all, that we shall be like him, Mother Neal. We are going to be in his presence day in and day out, for there is no day or night. We are going to see him, Uncle John, as he is. We're going to see him face to face. The other thing is I got the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Here, what does it mean, Deborah, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? I got a package deal. I got a package deal that he brings me direction and guidance. He produces fruit in my life. He sanctifies. He purifies me. He changes me into the image of Christ. I got a helper. What else does it mean, Deborah, to be a part of the kingdom of God, a child of God? I'm going to look like my father. I'm going to walk like my father. I'm going to talk like my father. I'm going to forgive like my father. And notice what, I'm transformed into the likeness of Christ, the children of God. I'm being transformed. But you all, there's some work we have to do. There's no magic wand that's waved over you when you give your life to Christ and said, now you got it all, you got it made now. No, there's some work we have to do. We have to work at dying to the flesh. We have to work at being more like Christ Jesus. You got to work at it. And how do I work? I work in the word. I work at dying in the flesh, not gratifying this flesh, not doing what I want to do, but saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And allowing the Holy Spirit to show me. Here's the other thing. My actions and my speech is in check. Then I got my 1 John 1:9, and I'm continuing, Minister Braxton, this whole process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. So guess what? Not only a child of God, we practice agape love. We are agape love. We live agape love. We live pure lives, you all. We don't keep on sinning. We don't make a practice of it. We're not habitual in it. We love our brethren. And our change, you all, is observable. It's real. It's not a putting on a show. I'm just going to be, when I get to church, this is who I am. When I get amongst other Christians, this is who I am. But I got a new nature. I walk in obedience. I got God's seed. And this is a powerful verse there, that God's seed is on the inside of me. If God's seed is on the inside of me, and that seed is being watered on the inside of me, oh, look at the fruit that's going to be produced in my life. Look at how I'm going to be able to shine. The song said, let your light shine. There might be somebody down in the valley trying to get home. When you let your light shine, even when the cashier is having a bad day, you can be able to, your light shine. And if we are born again, it's going to show up in our walk. It's going to show up in our talk. It's going to show up in our action. It's going to show up in our conduct. It's going to show up in our homes, you all. It's going to show up in our churches. That those that don't even know God, they're going to be able to say, wait a minute, I want what you got. And then we'll be able to, Uncle John, to show them how to be children of God. And yes, you all, what? How do I apply this lesson to my life? I apply from the standpoint of this. We have children of the devil that's surrounding us and all around us. I am convinced that my role and responsibility is this, is to share Jesus with them. My responsibility is to share Jesus lives and that Jesus saved. And that God loves them. Now, let me make this point. I didn't make it earlier, but I'm going to make it here. Everybody in the world is not God's children. People say, well, they're God's. No, they are God's creations. But you become a child of the King when you make a Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration. Look at John 3:16. Look at Acts 2:38. That's when you get the Holy Spirit. They are creations of God. But they are not children of God until they make this confession. So do you know this morning that you are born again? Do you know the attributes of a child of the King? Do you know what God is saying? He wants you to progress and become like. Do you know how you can activate the Holy Spirit in your life? Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of you. And he's been put there by our Heavenly Father to guide us, to lead us, to keep us on the right track. So don't ignore the Holy Spirit. He's more than somebody telling you stop at that green light, stop at that green light because somebody gonna run the red light. He's more than that, y'all. He's not an it. He's not a something, but he's more than that in your life. And that's where we don't want to miss the mark because we've been given a package deal. How many times we miss out on the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus? We miss out on those benefits because we don't open up the package. Uncle John, we don't open up a teaching. We don't open up a study on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't search the scriptures to find out what is this that, who is this that lives on the inside of me called the Holy Spirit? Who is he? What is he there for? And then we start stretching out on the Holy Spirit. It ain't nothing to be afraid of. We have to understand that we have been given someone that lives on the inside of us, that we don't have to continue to have a lifestyle, be habitual in sin. We don't have to abide in it. That's the children of the devil, the ones that walk in rebellion every day. The one that the people I heard the other day say, I want to go to hell. The ones that just love sin. The ones that live in sin, the ones that don't even trust in the atonement and the finished works of Christ, those are the children of the devil. But I want you all to know that we can make that very enemy, the strange of God, we can make them children of God but by giving them an opportunity. They can accept it or reject it. But what are we going to do? So my prayer this morning, Lord, my greatest desire is this, that I love the way you want me to love as you poured out your love on me. That I will be willing to cross the lines to those that are children of the enemy, children of the devil, who abide in a place, God, that if they continue to abide, that their home will be hell. Give me the strength. Give me the boldness. Give me the courage to cross the line, to tell them about you. You've already given me the commission. You've already given me the power. You've already given me the promise that you would never leave me, that you would never forsake me. You've already told me that you would be with me until the end of this world. You've already given me what I need. Lord, greatest desire is to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. As I take on my identity even more as a child of the King. So this morning, as disciples of Christ, remember, God's seed is on the inside of you. And you can't keep doing. You can't keep walking out of the path of righteousness because that helper, the Holy Spirit, speaks. And I'm going to tell you all, don't have to speak in a loud voice. You can speak in a soft voice. That's not the way to go, Deborah. That's not of God. That's not living the way he wants you to live. That's not even putting your trust in God. That's not even showing you got faith in God. That's not even showing the world you got belief in God by doing what you're doing. This morning, know this, we are children of God. We got a new identity, been adopted in the family. We are redeemed. We are called to love, show that agape love. We have fellowship with God because I can talk to him all through the day. I got a future. My future started right here. And I got a future that one day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I'm going to see my Heavenly Father. My hope is in him. And again, I got to practice and walk in righteousness so I can look like my Father. So I can walk like my Father, so I can talk like my Father through my actions and my speech. Transformed you all into the likeness of Christ. What does it mean to be a child of God? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. What a powerful powerful walk this morning. Thank you, Minister Singleton, so much for that walk in the Word. You pour out so much to us each and every time you come on this line, and I am grateful for it. Will there be any questions or comments or encouraging words for our powerful, powerful teacher who blesses me every time I talk to her?
I like to say that the word was very encouraging. It was very needed for a right now time. A lot of times we go through stuff and we think that God doesn't hear us, but he do. And knowing that he has chosen us, it makes me think of the phrase that we say sometimes, I'm God's favorite child. To me, that means he chose me, and I'm grateful for that. It's just in my spirit right now. I'm just still absorbing it, still meditating on his word, still thinking about his goodness. That's all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a sanctification process that, sister, that you're in and that we're all in. Because the world can tell us that God don't love us because of the things that's happening in our lives. You lose your job, they say, God don't love you. You go through a divorce, God don't love you. You go through sickness, God don't love you. You ain't a child of God. If you was a child of God, this wouldn't be happening to you. But I want to reassure you this morning, all of us, that if we are children of God, Romans 10:9-10, looking at John 3:16, what he did for us, in Acts 2:38, God lavished his love upon us. He pours it out on us each day. He sends us new mercy, Lamentations 3, every day. He says his faithfulness is everlasting. And I want you to know, when sickness comes, God loves you even the more. Because he's telling us, I promised you that I'm not going to leave you. I didn't promise you you weren't going to have some storms. I never promised you you wouldn't have tribulation. That's what we don't do, you all. We don't tell people that in life, as a believer, you are going to have storms. But the other part we need to add to it is, in the midst of your storm, God is not looking on the outside looking at how you're going to do. He's in the storm with you.
Amen.
He's in there with you. Isaiah 43:2, you all know that's one of my favorites. Hebrews 13:5b, he is not standing on the outside of your storm. He's in there with you. When you feel like, don't you at your wit's end, even when you feel lonely. I ministered this past Thursday, on loneliness. When you feel lonely, God is with you. What you have to do is get that word and find those scriptures that talks about your situation. And you put that scripture and that word on that situation and start watching God lift the weights off of your shoulders. Don't have a job? Find those scriptures in the word and watch God lift it. Give you a lift and say, I'm going to go get it. I'm finding me a job. As a matter of fact, before you even said, I got me a job. I already got me a job. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have so many lined up, I'm going to have to be the one to make the decision where I'm going. We got to change our talk. And your talk has to change based on what you believe. Let your faith come alive. Sister, I know what you're feeling. I was studying this all week, and I start writing, and I start seeing these categories and how God told me where I was before I gave my life to him. And then he said how you became a part of the family of God, and then what it means to be a part of the family. Wanda, you are my sister. You are my sister. We're not blood sisters, but yes, we are. We are blood sisters, the blood of Jesus. And we are to love one another. We are to bear the burdens of our sisters and brothers. That's the characteristic of children of God.
Amen.
So when I looked at this, I'm like you. It's so much to absorb. You're right, sister. Just that first verse, this great love was lavished up on us, poured out on us. I can't explain it. Someone to love me like this. But then he tells me, he gives me a new identity. He said, you're not that old person, and you ain't that other Deborah anymore. You got a new identity. And this is the way I want you to walk, Deborah. This is the way I want you to walk, Wanda. Because you got a new identity. And I want the world to see the change that I've made in your life. The change that the Holy Spirit indwelling in you and the Holy Ghost in you. You don't talk the way you talked 5 years ago. You don't deal with situations the way you dealt with them 5 years ago. You don't let them worry you like you used to do 5 years ago. Because you realize that you are to cast your cares upon the Lord. Isn't it something, you all, to have a love like this and to have a new identity and have a father that says, I want you to look like me, I want you to walk like me, and I'm going to give you what you need so you'll be able to do that? I'm not going to tell you to go this place, that. I'm going to give you what you need to look like me. You ain't got to go to a seminary. You ain't got to go to a theological. You ain't got to finish high school. You ain't got to finish grade school. I'm going to give you what you need to look like me, but you got to do some work yourself. There's something you got to do. Isn't that something, y'all? Somebody want me to look like them, to walk in righteousness, to live my best life in Christ Jesus. To live a life of abundance, not in stuff, these trinkets, but a life of abundance to have joy and peace when everybody else, everything is going on, chaos is going on. Isn't it something somebody wants me to have all of these things, possess all of this, to love me like this, Brother Al? And all he's asking me to do is, carry out my mandate, Deborah. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you to carry out, Wanda, by yourself. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you what you need. You're not doing any of this by yourself. It's almost, y'all know the phrase, I got you. And that's what God is saying. I got you. I got you. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, Sister Wanda. I know how you feel. Thank you.
Thank you.
God said, I got you. I got you. Can you trust me? Can you believe me? Can you have enough faith in me that I got you? Anyone else this morning? Good morning.
Minister Singleton, beloved saints on the line, hear me. What a powerful lesson. Minded and encouraged to know that we are children of God. And, you know, I like the way King James says, it said, behold, what manner of love Father has bestowed upon us. Behold, look at it. Receive it, feel it, know. And God loves you. And if you know what it's like to love somebody in our human understanding of love, family love, love a child, God loved us so much. And just to have it, you said, lavish, that's a word that brings about a visual for me. To lavish us, to pour it out on us, cover us with his love. What manner of love? And so we are the children of God. How does a person become a child of God? Thank you for reminding us, Minister Singleton, the born-again requirement to be born of the water and of the Spirit. There's something special. Know that you're a child of God. As you talked about it, you said that we look like our Father, walk like our Father, talk like our Father, speak and act like our Father. And I want you to know that I look like my earthly father. I know that because people have seen me and say, you look like your dad. You look like your father. And if I start talking, they say, you sound like him too. So that's one thing, to be like your earthly parents. But to be like our heavenly Father, conform to the image of Christ, be able to walk like Christ, talk like Christ, live like Christ. And we have that hope of knowing that when Christ comes, we will see him as he is. We need to be like him now. And I thank you for those attributes of reminding us, what does it mean to be a child of God? Yes, to look like him in everything. So we're trying to walk this thing out in our lives. And then, of course, we have to contend with those that are children of the enemy, devil. You minister so strongly about those, and those individuals who reject God. And even if they reject God, doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. It's that they don't see him. And if they don't receive him, that is the choice that they made. For those who have, of us who have chosen and made that profession of faith, that Jesus Christ is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He is God. Those of us who have made our profession of faith and confessed, we are born again believers. And we are those that are growing in the grace of God. And I think as I listen, you know, as our dear sister speaking, and she talked about, you know, going through those things and listening to this and just pondering over the words of Scripture. Yes, we all go through different difficulties in life. There are trials, there's tribulation. But once we know that we have been born again, then we will never blame our Father. We will never blame God for those things that happen, because he is in control of everything. And so we believe that God is in control of everything. And even in our suffering, in our pain, God is with us. Wherever we are, no matter how low it seems, God is with us. And so we must be able to cry out to God, and that God would hear our cry and attend to our prayers, pray to him. And I'll just say one other thing in terms of thought, in terms of adoption versus being born. When Paul brought this up to believers that he was talking to, those that were Israelites, Jews, had been born into the nation of Israel. So they felt they had a certain right because they were born into this. But the Gentiles are adopted. And we all become adopted. And there's a power in adoption, because now it takes a legal decree. And we take on the name of that family. And so we take on the name of God by adoption. And some people said it is so strong of that bond is that God would never deny us, even though sometimes we might deny God. We should never deny him once we know him. And so to know him is to know him in fellowship. And so I just encourage the saints, and I thank you, Minister Singleton, Dr. Singleton, for this word you poured out so much. As Sister Ruby has said, you pour out a lot to us as you minister the word of God, and to encourage us and to guide us And we know the Holy Spirit is with us to keep us and strengthen us. And whatever we do for God, it's what's going to last. So sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, being able to minister to them, to share our testimonies with them, to share our witness with them, to also hear them and hear their suffering and to encourage them in their pain. So we need to be able to give of ourselves just as God gave to us, we try to give to others. So I know that you do that in your life, and I know there's saints on the line that are so giving. Some of you I've met know that you're so giving in your walk before God. So let's just continue to do that. It's never that we can't do enough. We do what we can within the power and the gifts that God has given us. But God has blessed us that we can be a blessing to others. So we want to bless others in the things that God has blessed us with. So it's not just hearing it, but to go and do it. And so what I got to, and I'll close my statements with this, is that when I hear the word today, it makes me realize the importance of being a child of God and taking on his character. And so I want to make sure that I'm exuding that character every day when I'm dealing with everybody, even those who are difficult to love. I want to make sure that I love them in the way that God has said that I should love others. You know, we all have differences. We all have differences of opinions. But ultimately, this is show the love that God has given us to others, that agape love, self-sacrificing, that love that we give. Even if somebody doesn't love us back, we have to give that love. So whatever situation we go through, sickness, divorce, grief, whatever we go through, it's still love that will cover the multitude of sin. It's love that will strengthen us. And we have this hope in us because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for this message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for the saints on the line who listen to the message and are going to be doers of the message. Let it go into our spirit to make us strong. So we thank God for this word today. Children of God. Children of God, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Kiper, for being with us today, and thank you so much for your comments. For me, today was a message that is burning, and it continues to burn as I see all of these students gathering and parents gathering, and I think about how many of them know Jesus. How many of them know Jesus? How many, not just the children, but their parents? And do they understand how? Has anyone even shared with them the plan of salvation and how they can know him and how they can experience having an onboard divine GPS? And when I say onboard divine GPS, not one that you put the coordinates in like we do today when we go in somewhere, we put the coordinates in, but where the coordinates come from heaven and we follow where it wants us to go. And as I say, when I think about this love and people, how many people have been unloved, not even cared for, told that they were not loved, told that they were not cared for, and how they can experience a love like they've never had before. And two, like I say, it's just so, like the sister say, so amazing the care that he has for us. And that we can have it as well. And to the part that we play, that us conforming to the divine will in purpose, in thought, in action, and in living. If I walk away with nothing today, it is my call as a disciple of Christ, as a child of God, to be conformed, to be transformed to the divine will in purpose, in thought, in action, and in living. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Do I hear Mother Cora this morning?
Good morning. Amen.
Good morning, my dear. Good morning.
Good morning. Enjoyed the word this morning, as always. Truth is being brought forth. Do nothing but enjoy. I thank you. And my takeaway this morning is, as I use it as an unbeliever, like a child as an unbeliever that's been playing in dirt all day, out in the dirt, and the mother comes and said, come on, it's time to take a bath, get clean. But when the child comes in, the mother has the tub full of dirt. The tub is the same dirt that the child was playing in. That's what she had for him to take a bath in. And he took a bath. But is he clean? Because he took a bath in the same dirt that he was playing in. So that's what I take away for an unbeliever. Are we giving the unbeliever the gospel? Are we giving them a pacifier? Are we bringing them the truth? Are we giving them just something to be giving them something? Because the child took a bath, but that doesn't mean he's clean because he took a bath. So what is he bathing in? What are we bathing our children in? What are we bathing unbelievers in? So thank you for bringing the truth forward this morning and letting us know what it is that we need to be bathed in, that we're taking that step. It's just not just water. It's the gospel, the truth. Although we went down in the water, but have we went down in the truth and let the truth go down and get into us? Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
That's a mighty word, Mother Cora. Are we real? Are we authentic?
Wow.
And that's what the group of pastors were talking about this past week as we were sharing, is that what are we feeding people?
Mm.
What are we feeding them? Are we feeding them the word? Or are we feeding something that makes them feel good?
Uh-huh.
My. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else this morning? If not, Uncle John. Good morning.
Good morning, church. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
We having a wonderful time in the world, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Minister Devil. What does it mean to be a child of God?
Mm.
I think I better say that one. A hard time. What does it mean?
Well,
thank you, Minister Deborah, for the wonderful work you did this morning,
explaining
John's letter. Our devotion to this morning, opening scripture, Sister Ruby, Psalm 100, praise and prayer, Sister Ruby. I want to thank you. Thank you, Sister Wanda, for reading of the word this morning.
Mm.
Thank you, Brother Al, our old-time favorite. Just a closer walk with thee.
Mm.
is a wonderful blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's being taught by one of the disciples. He wrote this letter, which is John.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read a couple of verses, verses 1 and 2. From the third chapter of 1 John, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear,
hallelujah,
be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Praise God. The
subject this morning is good to know Jesus. It's good to know Jesus. This is Apostle John writing us. Seems like he's giving us the final exam. One who has set the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching for 3 long years. My question for you and I this morning, will we be able to pass the final exam when Jesus comes? God that had bestowed love upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That's why I say this morning, it's good to know Jesus. I heard you say, Apostle John, we shall be like him. And every man has had this hope in him, purify himself, and as he is pure. Got to keep yourself pure if you want to be like him. Do you want to be like him this morning? John said in the letter that whosoever committed sin transgressed against the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. So it's good to know Jesus so you can be like him. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to put love in our hearts if we want to be like him. God loves everybody if you want to be like him. You got to love those who despise you. You got to love when you know they don't love you. You got to keep on loving if you want to be like him. To be able to pass the final exam, so it's good to know Jesus if you want to be like him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Uncle John. Amen. If I want to be like him, thank you so much. Amen. I want to thank each of you for joining us today. We ask that you continue to go over this word and let us walk in the word. Let us live in the word. Let us be obedient to the word of God, because he has a calling on our lives, each of us,
that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation, and that is to tell the world that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves, and that we can show them how they can be saved. We can do that through the Word of God. Amen. Sister Ruby, any announcements before we go back over to Uncle John to close us out on today? Any announcements?
No more than invite them back out this afternoon to hear Apostle Ed Side, and just to thank each and everyone for calling in. I say all the time, and which is true, it wouldn't be a line without you people. So thank you all, one and all. Just know that we love you and we appreciate you. And if you can, please call back in this evening. If you haven't heard her, you will, I'm sure you will be blessed by her. Please come in and listen to Apostle Atside. I would like to say this, though, Minister Singleton. It's a little bit early, but it's never too early to start. September comes in, we will be going into our fall. And for our fall, as usual, we do the gift to the prisoners. So we can start picking up our little toupees, individual toupees, toothbrushes, and that kind of stuff. If it's never too early to get started, and let's start working on that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Ruby, for what you do. And you are right. It's never too early to start. We are going to ask the chaplain to come within the next week or two to give us an update in terms of the gifts that we provided in June. In June, as you all know, we had a gathering, and we provided the local prison a number of items, way over 400 items. So she'll be coming and sharing, giving us an update as to how those items are being used in the ministry and how we are helping the ministry there. Also, mark your calendars. Our next fifth Sunday will be downtown Macon. Since our event, two other churches have asked to also be a part of this. So the fifth Sunday in September will be downtown Macon again. So if you're able to come, we would love to have you to come. Also, our outreach for Joy in the Morning. Uncle John, I need to get with you on this, is that we're going to be in the Hoover-Birmingham area, and we are going to duplicate the same thing that we did here in June. We're going to duplicate that effort there in the Hoover-Birmingham area, an outreach along with sharing the word, the message, and providing them hygiene items as well. So just what, if you're able to come, that's October the 5th. That's October the 5th. It's going to be a one-day event there in the Hoover-Birmingham area. So please keep our announcements in mind, and thank you all for the work that we are doing to carry out Matthew 28:19-20, as well as Matthew 25:35-40. So just please keep that in mind and know what scriptures is aligned to what your ministry is doing. Always keep that as a focus so that others will know how we are aligned to the Word of God. Uncle John, I'm going to ask if you would come and close out again. Thank all of you for being with us this morning in our walk in the Word for Sunday morning. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Deborah, for sponsoring this program this morning. I'm sure the word went out to many, many that's on the line this morning. The Sunday school lesson is created to go through all the world, that you get up on Sunday morning, most churches everywhere will be studying this same word for Sunday school. I was down in Alabama, down in Greenville, Alabama once, and he was a man sitting in the hotel lobby. He was setting the same word that we were about to go online and have. That was so wonderful. I gave him a few shouts about it. He went on about his way. Seemed like he was going to teach it. Amen. Lord, I
Have a wonderful and great day. Hopefully we can hear you back this evening. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you.
Be blessed and be safe. Love you all. Uncle John, Pastor Kaifa.
Love y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Love y'all.
Have a wonderful.